Well, good afternoon, everyone, for the last time in this hall. You hear that? I heard some in the congregation, Carl Anderson and others, saying hallelujah. I mean, it was really tough coming in this day, wasn't it? The sun is shining beautiful, and as I walked in earlier, everyone was begging, could we move outside? It would be a pleasure. So next Sabbath, we'll be moving to a new hall, but I will review that during the announcement period. Mr. and Mrs. Bradford are here from Australia, formerly from the San Francisco Bay Area, and recently moved to Australia, but you'll be hearing from Mr. Bill Bradford for the second message today. They were here for the General Conference of Elders, and then, of course, are going to come through Seattle to visit family. Over 300 ministers and wives gathered in Cincinnati for our annual General Conference of Elders. What do we do at these meetings? Any of you ever wondered what we do at these meetings? What goes on there? Why do so many ministers and wives come from so far, from across the entire United States, but also from most other international areas? Our ministers and wives travel all the way from Australia, South Africa, England, the Philippines, Europe, all over the world. Canada, of course, close by, and Mexico, and South America, on it goes. What I would like to do in this first message is to give you an overview of what took place at this year's General Conference of Elders, why we have them, the purpose of these meetings, and what is accomplished at these meetings. I won't go into such detail that it will bore you, but I hope to give you enough of the interesting details that you will enjoy it. And it was a very profitable conference this year, very successful. I'll get to it a little later, but for the first time in our history, we had an extremely smooth transition from one president to another president. But I will give you details on that a little bit later, because I would like to go chronologically. It makes it a lot easier for me to review for you what is happening in the church and in the work of God and in United by reviewing this for you. I left last week on Wednesday, actually. It was a Wednesday, the middle of the week, for meetings on Thursday. But when I got there, the ministers and elders and wives from the international areas were already having a whole day of meetings. Now, how many of you have ever lived overseas, internationally, in any foreign country? Okay, a number of you have lived in other areas. Well, you can imagine what it would be like to be 10,000 miles away and maybe with a much smaller group of brethren or ministers or elders, and feeling sometimes somewhat disconnected or isolated, like our brethren in Alaska, for instance, who are a part of our Northwest region. I'm the pastor, did you know that, of our churches in Alaska. Thankfully, we have two elders who live up there who really do the work, but I serve as regional pastor and overseer. Well, they can feel very isolated and disconnected, and they deeply appreciate visitors and being able to come into meetings and connecting with others. And so we bring in representatives, that is, elders and wives from all of our international areas around the world who are a part of United. And it brings them all together. And if it weren't for this, many of them would never see one another. Sure, they can connect by internet. But brethren, one thing I'll be pointing out as we move along, which I think all of you know, nothing can take the place of seeing someone face to face, can it? What if you never came to a Sabbath service or never met with brethren? You can call on the phone, you can use internet, you can write letters, but it's never the quality it could be if you could sit down with that person and develop a relationship with them and communicate with them. So, not this past Wednesday, because I got back home this last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before that, Wednesday a week prior, the international ministers were meeting together with the chairman of the Council of Elders and the president of the United to coordinate the efforts of those areas and to discuss mutual problems and concerns and working together as a team and as an organization worldwide. And so that was taking place on Wednesday before the General Conference of Elders actually began. These are other meetings that take place for your information. And those meetings this year were very positive and very profitable. You can talk to Bill Bradford. He was certainly in those meetings. And on Thursday, before the General Conference of Elders, the General Conference of Elders takes place over the weekend. I'll explain the difference between the other meetings we have. The actual General Conference of Elders meeting is officially one day when we conduct official business. So I hope what I go through today will maybe familiarize you even a little bit more with United's organization and how we function. But prior to the weekend, on Thursday, there was a whole day of meetings of the Ministerial Education Committee of the Council of Elders. The Council of Elders is composed of 12 men, and usually each of those men are involved in committees of the council that do the work of the council. The meetings of the council are when you get together, consider matters, and make a decision. Behind the scenes, for any of you who've been on any kind of a board or a council, you have committees of the council who do days, weeks, months of work sometimes in preparation for the meetings. And so we have on the council a Ministerial Education Committee, which met for a full day to consider and to plan continued education for our ministers and wives. I attended those meetings and gave an update on our focused education programs, which I coordinate. That's programs that have to do with alcoholism, abuse of any kind that we deal with in the church, homosexual issues and other sexual issues, and race relations. And so these meetings were extremely profitable. Others who have other areas of education gave a report and made recommendations on how we can help our ministers continue to learn and grow in helping people with whatever their problems may be, how we in the ministry can keep learning and growing. Clyde Kylo, for instance, gave a presentation in the Ministerial Education Program on how we can help all of our ministers and pastors become better servant leaders. Christ-centered servant leadership, as you know, is one of the biblical approaches. Christ-centered, no one has any objections with that, I don't think. Servants, I think we all would agree with being servants of others. And leadership is what God is calling us to be in His kingdom, leaders. And we want to learn to be leaders in this life now. And so he gave a presentation on how the biblical teaching of servant leadership, following Christ's example, can be applied at every level of the organization, from administration all the way to our every minister and elder and into our churches. And this will be an ongoing, continual, never-ending program, if you want to call it that, or biblical approach that we want to keep striving toward. So those were extremely profitable meetings on Thursday before the GCE. On Friday, before the General Conference of Elders, we had meetings on another very interesting subject. It's a task force. So when we speak of a task force, it's a group of ministers, sometimes wives involved, depending on the subject, and others, and the GCE, other elders, who focus on a particular subject that is being developed for the church. And so we had meetings on Friday, a week ago from this last Friday, on pastoral excellence. What we have discovered, and Mr. Darris McNeely, our minister, one of our ministers in Indianapolis, is chairing this task force, There is a foundation called the Lilly Foundation. Lilly is a pharmaceutical company. They have lots of money. They have tens of millions of dollars they give away to needy causes. One of the things they give millions of dollars to, the Lilly Foundation, and we received all of their information on it, they want to help strengthen churches and ministers in America. They believe that churches and ministers are the foundation of America's strength. And they have a section of donations that they will give to any church who teaches the Bible, who presents a program to them, which has to be approved, that will benefit and strengthen their ministry, their pastors, and help them feed the flocks better. Now, so we are applying for a grant from the Lilly Foundation, and we were meeting together to develop our program to present to the Lilly Foundation, and it takes a lot of planning. You meet a lot on the telephone. Teleconferences take place for months, and then you meet face-to-face to do the final work. If we receive a grant, it could be up to $500,000 or more, then that will fund programs for pastoral excellence. For the first time ever, we would be able to fund what we call sabbaticals for our ministry. We've never had anything like that in our church in past years, where a minister can be given 6 months or a year off for advanced education and training, seminars, college, schooling, whatever, he and his wife. It'll be left up to pastors and wife. Lilly Foundation puts the emphasis on, we want the pastor and wife to develop their own program of excellence in their ministry and service to the churches. Because what works for one pastor and wife may not work for another one. So it's designed so that pastors and wives, we will sit down and plan out, we need this in our lives to help us grow. So I thought you'd be interested in knowing what we're applying for. We have to submit our proposal to them by June the 15th. And hopefully that something will be granted so that we can, that's only a small part of it. It's many, there's seven different phases of pastoral excellence. And so it's face-to-face where you can really get a lot done and help the ministry and the church move forward. There's so much yet that we need to learn, don't we, in the ministry and in our churches on helping us grow spiritually and serving our nation, serving the world, serving other people. Then came the Sabbath of May the 4th. And so you have a very large, there were over 700 people, counting the elders and wives, and then the local congregations in Cincinnati. There were over 700 people meeting. This is at the Holiday Inn, Eastgate, outside Cincinnati. It's near the home office. And in the morning on that Sabbath was a special dedication ceremony of our new home office building. You'll be reading about it and seeing pictures. Some of you said you've already seen it on the internet, those who know how to do that. But in the next issue of United News, you will also see pictures of the new home office building. It's beautiful without being ostentatious, very functional, very attractive. And God opened up to us a beautiful piece of property. We're located east of Cincinnati, about 30 minutes or so. And as you go east, there are hills that begin to climb. Not mountains, but hills, rolling hills in Ohio. And so there was some acreage up on top of one of the hills with a view that was, for some reason, just sitting there and not taken. And we were able to purchase that. And we have made the move into our temporary office space now, into our own home office. And I think you will be pleased with it, and in the right way, proud of it. Not opulent at all, but beautiful, attractive, and extremely functional. We were bursting at the seams in our rented office space, literally outgrowing there, and especially in the area of the amount of literature that is now being requested and that we send out, it's going to make the job of mailing so much easier because we have, for the first time ever, the ability for a truck to back up in a proper space and unload the tons and tons of stacks and stacks of literature that we mail out now. but everyone else has offices that will just and make them more productive and help us to move forward in the work of God. It was beautiful that morning. It had been raining every other weekend, they said, in Cincinnati, kind of like here. That day, the sun came out, and it was beautiful for the dedication ceremony. And Mr. Les McCullough gave a short talk dedicating this building to doing the work of God, dedicated to God and doing His work and serving mankind, serving our people, serving the world, serving others, taking the truth of God and using this as a center for spreading the truth and the Word of God to others. So you'll look forward to hearing more about that. In the afternoon was a regular church service. There were split sermons given by two council members, Mr. Mario Sigley and Mr. Richard Thompson. Mr. Sigley spoke on our cultural diversity in the church. He himself is from Cuba, Latin, and has served for over 20 years in Chile, has been just recently transferred to Southern California in Garden Grove, where I used to pastor. But he spoke on our cultural diversity in the church and how it is that we are unified in the body of Christ by our common calling and by the Spirit of God, regardless of culture, regardless of language, regardless of race, regardless of any of those things, we become a part of the body of Christ when we are called. And then Mr. Thompson spoke on the faithfulness of God, that God keeps His promises. And that evening was an evening for fellowship, but also educational seminars were conducted for any of our elders or our ministers who could not stay over on Monday, because Monday, all day Monday, is a day of educational seminars for our ministry. But some of our elders who are not employed and have jobs they have to get back home to can't stay Monday. And so some of the seminars were planned for Saturday night for them. So the Sabbath was very profitable. Now Sunday, every year, first weekend of May, it's just been tradition that our General Conference of Elders falls on the first weekend of May, before we get to summer when it's too busy because of other things like camps and vacations and whatever, and yet after the spring holy days are over, so it's always been the first weekend of May. And it is on that Sunday, this would have been May the 5th, it's on a Sunday every year, that all of our elders come together for approving the official business of the United Church of God. In our governance of United, as you know, every elder has a ballot or vote. He can either approve our new budget for the next year or disapprove it. He can either approve ballot for council members, same ones staying on, or for new ones going on the Council of Elders. And I'll give you the results of that in a moment. Let me refer to the brochure that every elder has that gives the details of the weekend and what's going on. So the balloting process for the selection of council members took place. I'll give you that first. That's usually of a little more interest to people who are the new members on the Council of Elders. Some were re-elected to the Council of Elders. Aaron Dean was re-elected to the Council of Elders. Each year, four elders stand for re-election. We have a system so that two-thirds of the council, there's a transition, overlapping period. See how it's organized? It isn't that every year all 12 men could be booted off and you start with 12 new men, because then some of them may not have the background of continuity of what's been going on. So every year, four council members of the 12, every term is a three-year term, stand for re-election or can stand down if they don't want to be on the council any longer. Mr. Aaron Dean was re-elected. Two new council members that were elected are Jim Franks and Doug Horchak. They were on the Council of Elders in the very early beginning years and decided to drop off and have now left their names on for consideration this year and were re-elected to the Council of Elders. And on the Council of Elders We always have international ministers. It's not composed of just ministers in the United States, but we must have international ministers on. And the international minister, there's more than one, but the one that was reelected this year was Mr. John Jewell from England, who was already on the Council of Elders. So all of the balloting is a private thing where you confidentially write down the names that you ballot for, and it's folded up, and all of that's handed in, and it's counted privately and confidentially by an accounting firm that we use. It's not done internally at all. The other thing that the elders do every year in the United Church of God is take a look at the plans that the United Church of God has for preaching the gospel and doing the work of God. A strategic plan. Some of you will remember when we were having meetings in our local congregation to develop, we called it our church action plan. Every organization needs a strategic plan. The strategic plan gives the vision of the organization, gives the mission of the organization, two different things, and gives the goals that the organization wants to accomplish. So we have a strategic plan that is developed and reviewed every year. Where are we going? What do we want to accomplish and do? Every elder has to ballot. They have all of this before they come. They have to read it and study it and come and approve it or disapprove it. Before that, they have a chance to give input if they want to make changes. So just to review for you what happens there, it's pretty important that we know where we're going and what our calling is, isn't it? If you ever want a copy of any of the material I'm reading, all you have to do is request it. The elders also ballot on our operation plan. The operation plan is a much more detailed plan of every operation of the work in the church, every department, in great detail of what we're going to accomplish, our goals that need to be accomplished for the following year, a detailed operation plan. For instance, my little part of focused education is listed in here and what we want to accomplish in the next year. And then also, all of the elders have to approve or disapprove every year at the General Conference of Elders. They have to approve our budget or disapprove it. There's a detailed budget sent out to every elder of how every dollar will be spent each year. And this is available to members. It's not confidential at all. It's all public knowledge, and any of you can obtain any of it that you want in detail. And last year's budget in United was $17 million. We exceeded that, and we are budgeting for the next year, our fiscal year. Our fiscal year is from June 30th, is it? The end of June. New fiscal year begins July 1st through June 30th of the following year. And so our new budget for next year, if you're wondering what is United's budget, what are we expecting to have as an income, what do we expect to spend, it is $18,240,000 for this next year. We do have a reserve, an emergency reserve we keep aside. But every elder gets all of this ahead of time, studies how much we're spending for this and that, and he can approve or disapprove. I'll give you the results in a moment. So all of these things are balloted on by the elders, and the elders are encouraged to share this with their congregations. One other thing we finally ballot on back there is proposed amendments to our Constitution and bylaws. The Bible is our main governing document, but every physical corporation that is legally incorporated in our nation has to have a Constitution and bylaws to be incorporated. So United, the United Church of God, an international association, is a corporation. And we are incorporated. We have a Constitution and bylaws. And we realize that these documents, you can't improve on the Word of God, can you? No changes. But on our human documents, we find sometimes that, whoops, we didn't quite get this quite right in this procedure, this process, this wording was awkward and misunderstood. So amendments are proposed from time to time. Elders or members can propose any amendments to our governing documents. And this year there were two proposed. One amendment that was proposed was had to do with the president of the United Church of God and the treasurer and the secretary. One amendment was, let me see if I can remember and get this right. I think the best thing to do, here it is read it to you. I think I'll make it okay time-wise. It says currently in our present governing documents that every third year of service for each officer of the corporation, president, treasurer, and secretary, the council must reaffirm whether or not the president and the officers stay in that job. That's the way it is, was in our governing documents. The council must reaffirm with at least a simple majority the continuation of each officer on an individual basis. And if an officer is not confirmed by a simple majority of the council, he must step down and the council elects a new president or secretary and treasurer. And what had been proposed was an amendment that said the officers shall continue to serve, remain in the office, unless two-thirds of the council find it necessary to meet to remove that person. That ballot, by the way, was defeated by an overwhelming majority. The amendment was defeated. It will remain as it was, that every 3 years, the council will meet to reaffirm or not reaffirm the office of president, treasurer, or secretary. And what that does, the vast majority of men felt that was a safeguard and an easier way to remove an officer not doing a good job rather than a confrontation where you have a council meeting. I'm putting that in my own words. That maybe isn't the right way to say that. But rather than the council having to decide the present president or treasurer or secretary isn't doing a good job, let's have a meeting and see if we can get two-thirds of the men. You know, we went through that about 4 or 5 years ago, remember. So these kind of things come up occasionally, and our documents may be adjusted in the wording. So there's quite a responsibility in that as well. That's the other amendment was of important, but maybe not of such significance as that one. So we do that on Sunday, the official business, so that we can move on. And for the next year, we have a budget. We have council members who meet, the board of directors of our church, and move forward. And a very important and significant thing that took place on Sunday was the peaceful transfer from past president, Mr. Leslie McCullough, to the new president of the United Church of God, Mr. Roy Holiday. Again, without getting specific or referring to the past overly in a negative way, the last time before was not a peaceful transfer at all. In fact, it ended up with the former president leaving the United Church of God. There was a split and a division, and many left with him and hurt the church, the United Church of God, very badly. And Mr. McCullough has accepted the council's decision. Council elected a new president. He has accepted that gracefully and gave a speech to the General Conference of Elders, everyone there, thanking them for their support, giving God the credit for what has been accomplished in his 4 years as president. And he was very gracious about it. And he just said, the title of my talk is, "Look at what God has wrought, what God has done." Kind of a quote from Scripture, "What God has wrought." And then Mr. Holiday followed Mr. McCullough, thanked him and Mrs. McCullough for their faithful service. A gift was presented to the McCulloughs, and Mr. Holiday had kind words of appreciation for Mr. McCullough's assistance in the overlapping. Because Mr. Holiday, it's going to take a while for him to learn the job, get up to speed on the job, and Mr. McCullough has been very helpful and very cooperative in the overlap that they will have as United moves from one president to a new president of the United Church of God. And I think why this is significant, brethren, and why it's important, it helps everyone to understand again how United is organized. We're not an organization governed, controlled, or dominated by one man or individual. And it also sends a signal in United that there will be other changes in the future, in future years, where other qualified men will be able to serve as president. The president serves at the home office and oversees the day-to-day operations of the church. That is his job. And he coordinates and works closely with the international areas of the United Church of God. So that went very, very well, very smoothly, and everyone gave Mr. and Mrs. McCullough a standing ovation and a gratitude and thanks for their service, because Mr. McCullough, his expertise in budgeting and handling finance, very, very strong in that area. 4 years ago, the United Church of God was very near bankruptcy. I don't know how many of you remember that. And that's when the council chose Mr. McCullough to be president. He chose Mr. Tom Kirkpatrick to be treasurer, another very fine, highly qualified gentleman. And their leadership helped put, that is with God's blessing, obviously, and they acknowledge that, helped put United back on solid footing financially. And when you're sitting there and you're looking at this beautiful office building and realize 4 years ago we were almost bankrupt, and God's blessing today, we do thank God and give him the credit and look upon that as something symbolic that he has a work to do yet, much to do in reaching others with his truth. Well, I'm going to close it up here pretty quickly to give Mr. Bradford plenty of time. But on Sunday, then, there is a keynote address delivered by one of our ministers. And this year, Mr. Petty, you may not know him, but he is the voice on radio. We do have a few radio stations we are on, and Mr. Gary Petty is the voice of the United Church of God on radio, also a pastor down in Texas. And he gave an excellent presentation entitled "To the Measure and Stature of the Fullness of Christ," and went through Ephesians 4 and showed the purpose of the ministry, the job of our calling in the ministry to help the brethren grow in works of service, as it states there in Ephesians, and for the edification and building up of the brethren as well. Very, very excellent address. I think you'll be hearing a little bit more from Mr. Bradford, probably somewhat along that line today. And then on Monday, wrapping it up here, the last day of the conference, actually, like I remember, the official day is Sunday, where the official business is done, but while everyone is together, we have all these other helpful, profitable meetings. And on Monday, there were other presentations by other pastors that were excellent this year, one of them entitled "Equipping the Saints for the Work of Service." Mr. Melvin Rhodes focused on how the ministry can better help our brethren grow and serve God, giving them opportunities, helping them to learn how to grow and serve and develop their own talents and abilities. Mr. Bob Barrett gave one on the importance of ministers being humble, first of all, and then bold once they are truly humbled in serving God. And then a third one by a pastor, Mr. Dave Johnson, on pastoring, teaching, and equipping God's people for service, and the various techniques and ways of reaching different people. We all learn differently. Some of you learn by seeing things better than by hearing, and others learn better by doing, but there are many different ways and techniques, and several of you have been involved in that for years, and encouraging the ministry to use different means of reaching God's people. And then finally, on Monday, Mr. Roy Holiday, as his final act as chairman of the GCE, closed our meetings with a short talk on the importance of caring for the brethren. As you know, Mr. Roy Holiday has been a pastor all his years in the church, and he's been in the ministry the same length of time I have, 39 years this month. So I think you will see, as Mr. Holiday becomes president of United, You'll be hearing maybe a little different emphasis. Mr. Batchella had his strengths, talents, and abilities. Mr. McCullough remains on the Council of Elders. He is still one of the 12 men. But Mr. Roy Holiday is now the president and is moving, is already at Cincinnati, and will become the day-to-day overseer of the work of United. The council's job is to set policy and to oversee the president and operations managers. And Mr. Holiday gave an excellent presentation on how pastors are to care for God's people, the brethren. So it was, these were excellent meetings, and without going into any further details on it, following those meetings, the GCE was over, almost everybody went home. The regional pastors met for one day of meetings to discuss and plan the details of the ministerial candidate program. I announced that before I left for Cincinnati and mentioned that we are now launching a new program for bringing along new pastors in the United Church of God. So without taking time to give you the details, we planned some of the final details of our ministerial candidate program for the United Church of God, and so it could be presented to the Council of Elders for approval. We'll give you more on that later. And then also following the GCE were 3 days of Council of Elders meetings. The Council of Elders always follows the General Conference of Elders, the meeting of all of our elders who can make it, with 3 days of council meetings. So they can follow up on meetings and making decisions on any important meetings, any important decisions, while they're all together. So that kind of closed it. But let me add this. I probably forgot a couple of things to tell you. Mr. Holiday is the new president of United, which you knew. But the first order of business for the Council of Elders was to select a new chairman, because Mr. Holiday can't be both president and chairman. So, and the council began its meetings by choosing a new chairman, and you do that again by writing down names privately and folding them up, giving them to the secretary, and seeing who the council selects. So I'm happy to announce that the new chairman of the Council of Elders, and the chairman is important because he coordinates all the work and meetings of the Council of Elders and works very closely with the president. The new chairman of the Council of Elders is Mr. Clyde Kylo, who lives in Sacramento, who used to be our regional pastor before I presently am regional pastor. So many of you remember Mr. Clyde Kylo, very fine man. There is just a little technical thing, and that is that he was elected to finish Mr. Holiday's term. Mr. Holiday's term as chairman of the council runs until the end of June. So he was elected to complete Mr. Holiday's term, about 2 more months, and then if the council wants him to continue serving as chairman, there will be another, they'll have to go into session and elect him for a 2-year term, which is the normal term of the chairman of the Council of Elders. So, and it's expected that Mr. Clyde Kylo will be reelected after he finishes Mr. Holiday's term. He'll be reelected to a two-year term as chairman of the council. And after 2 years, he can be elected for another 2-year term. I think that gives you an overview, brethren. If you're not interested in those kind of things, that may have been a little bit boring to you. But if you like to occasionally hear a little bit about how United works and operates and the things that are discussed and talked about, it might have been interesting to you. I think I failed to mention also that the strategic plan was overwhelmingly approved by the elders, so we'll move ahead. The operation plan, overwhelmingly approved, the goals of the organization in detail, and the new budget was overwhelmingly approved as well by the Council of Elders. So that's it for an update for you on what we were doing. Somebody asked me, did you have fun back there? I said, well, it was very profitable, and I came away uplifted and excited about being a part of United. It was very smooth, very positive, and very profitable, but I also came away exhausted and tired. Can you imagine spending a week sitting in meetings and doing nothing but visiting and talking to people? I think you know. It's wonderful, but you come back wanting to kind of crash and collapse and catch up a little bit on your rest and sleep. And you even don't even want to talk for a while, although Leanne didn't go with me, so I did talk with her a lot. So, okay.